From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. A very special lockout edition of Inside the Parker. Coming up on the program, we'll talk with USA Today baseball writer Bob Nightingale. Also, we'll talk with former MLB writer Steve Marcus from Newsday. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
It is official. A lockout in Major League Baseball. The CBA expired on Wednesday, December 1st. And the two sides met briefly on Wednesday and called it a day and kind of like, nothing special. Nobody's expecting this deal to get done fast. I do not believe there's going to be a stoppage in play. I just think this is the course that both of these have to kind of follow, the players and the owners. The owners kind of want things to stay the way that they are. They want expanded playoffs and things like that. They saw in 2020 when they had 16 of the 30 teams playing in the playoffs and more TV money and stuff like that. And the players want a universal DH, and they want to shorten the length of players becoming free agents. Instead of having to go 6 years before you're free, they want to move it up so that it's like 4 years, and especially because some teams now are playing this non-competitive game where they strip down their team and they don't want to pay any veterans and guys are on the wayside and they only want young guys who aren't making any money. So they want to kind of make it so that teams can't play that game and that veteran players don't get squeezed out and that younger players can get paid faster. Think about this. Aaron Judge, in all the years he's played with the Yankees, still has another year before he gets paid. Yeah, I mean, one more year. So I think that's where it is. But I do believe we've seen in the last three or four lockouts, they've lasted around 18, 20 days, something like that. As long as these sides get together by February 1st and spring training is on target, we should be good.
Number two.
My goodness. Major League Baseball owners certainly didn't act like they had their panties in a bunch when it came to the players and the CBA and all that, because they went on a spending frenzy. I mean, my head is still spinning with all the deals. How about the Texas Rangers? $500 million on two middle infielders? I love Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, but my goodness. I mean, if you're a Rangers fan, you're going out to buy jerseys and tickets and the whole nine yards. They got a beautiful ballpark down there. They need to get it packed, so they're not messing around. Their payroll was low, so they added some money and some firepower. And the Mets, with their new owner, Cohen, he's not playing around. They went out, added some new outfielders, some lumber, and they went out and got an ace pitcher in Max Scherzer, who pitched for the Dodgers last year after being traded from the Washington Nationals. So the Mets are making noise. It's surprising, though. The Dodgers quiet. The Yankees really quiet. They haven't done anything, really. That's interesting. But other teams are moving around, moving players, and it's exciting. It does feel like a kind of an NBA. I didn't realize there was so many free agents and names. And the other one, too, is there's some teams who normally don't get involved in this, like the Mariners maybe of late and the Tigers of late, and they all made deals as well. So this is good for baseball. This is good for fans.
Number three.
All right. Enough already. The accolades just keep flying the way of two-way star Shohei Ohtani. Shohei won the 2021 Edgar Martinez DH Award. I mean, Shohei, who's 27 years old, has already been stockpiling the awards. Of course, he was the 2021 American League MVP. He was unanimous. And, you know, now he's gotten this award for DH. He also won the Silver Slugger Award at DH. He was named to the first team All MLB at DH. And he also got the Commissioner's Historic Achievement Award. So the awards just keep piling up for Shohei Ohtani. No one's going to argue with you. No one's going to fight you. It was that kind of year. And as we move forward, we just want to see this guy continue to play both ways. And hopefully the Angels can get enough pitching to go with Ohtani and Trout and make a run in the playoffs. We love to see him on the big stage, primetime, Shohei Ohtani, pitching and hitting and doing all those things.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Let's welcome in USA Today baseball writer Bob Nightingale, one of the best in the business. Thanks for joining Inside the Parker, Bob. How you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Rob, yourself?
Man, I'm not as busy as you with this flurry of action in Major League Baseball. The largest free agent contracts by total value in one offseason. How surprised are you that owners have gone bonkers?
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I mean, usually these things get drawn out. I wish it was like this every year. It's like NBA style. And so just with the flurry activity, Everybody's trying to get their deals done before the lockout tomorrow, and teams are trying to get the rosters. So you know what? Let's get this thing done so at least we get fans buying season tickets, because look how we used to improve our team.
No doubt about it. Big winners. The Mets, I want you to talk about that. Of course, Max Scherzer, 3 years, $130 million. They've added some pieces offensively as well. Texas Rangers swing big. They get Corey Seager, $325. Marcus Semien, who hit 45 home runs at second base last year for Toronto, they get him for $175. Who was the biggest winner?
Well, I got to be Texas Rangers, right? And they spent $560 million on $500 million on two infielders with Corey Seager and Marcus Semien. So I got to go with them. You know, Mets second, making their moves. So you know, Mets are trying to get relevant again. We'll see what happens. And, you know, Texas. You know, they've had this money. They got a brand new ballpark, and they had to do something. So I think they're saving their money for the time that's right. And now, you know, they should start drawing some fans with the people they got.
Yeah, they got a beautiful ballpark down there. I've been there. I was there for the World Series in 2020. It's a great place. And you're right. You got to put people in the seats. How about the Mets and Scherzer? Do you like this? I mean, obviously you add a guy like this. He did have a dead arm at the end of the year with the Dodgers. You know, didn't get the Dodgers where they wanted him to go. But adding him to a rotation can't hurt you, can it?
No. You know, he pitched out of bullpen in the playoffs, too, and he had put a lot of innings on his arm. So I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's still, you know, a Cy Young contender all these years later. He's 37, but he pitches like he's 27. So, and he can change the culture and dynamic in that clubhouse, too, to make sure, you know, these guys are competitive and, you know, not to give up in the way they you know, just fell apart last year at the seams.
Bob, how surprised were you with the Javi Baez deal with the Tigers? The Detroit Tigers spending some money. They weren't that bad last year. They actually got off to a bad start and were around 500. You like this move?
Well, I do. You they weren't going to spend $300 million on Seager or Carlos Correa. But they wanted a shortstop, and there were five and six of them out there. So, yeah, it's a nice move. I figured it was going to be him or Trevor Story. So, and, you know, Baez is a charismatic player, energetic player, where I think the fans will relate to him, and I think he'll help sell tickets.
Our guest is Bob Nightingale, baseball writer for USA Today. The Corey Seager deal, and let's talk about the Dodgers. They've lost people. People, obviously, Scherzer, Seager, a couple people, just big names that have left the Dodgers. What about Seager's leaving the Dodgers? Did this seem like this was going to be a foregone conclusion when they traded for Turner?
Yeah, absolutely. And they had told Turner, too, just stay, stay with us here. You'll be our shortstop next year. So remember now, and then they tried to trade Seager 2 years ago for Francisco Lindor when he was still at Cleveland. So I think the writing was on the wall. Tremendous talent, but, you know, hurt a lot. I don't think they loved his defense at short. So, you know, I think once they traded Turner, the writing was on the wall that Seager was gone.
How about the Mariners? They had a nice run. They just fell short of the playoffs, and they go out and get the American League Cy Young winner, Robbie Ray. I love that move.
Oh, I do, too. I thought they got him a good price, too. And they, yeah, they came on strong at the end. You know, that team is young, up and coming. So they got a real chance. I mean, they better make the playoffs after 20 years. It's embarrassing.
They
haven't made the playoffs since, you know, 2001. With the resources, everything they have. So if they make the playoffs, you know, next year, you know, some people should get fired. I mean, it's a joke.
Bob, let's talk about some guys who haven't been signed yet and what's the likelihood of deals getting done for Freddie Freeman, Carlos Correa, Chris Bryant. You mentioned Story, Trevor Story, who's available, Nick Castellanos, who's available, Marcus Stroman. Any of these guys getting signed, and especially the big guys in Freeman and Correa?
Well, you know, Correa, you know, he's what Seager got. He deserves more than Seager. You know, probably deserves more than Francisco Lindor. So he's looking for, you know, 10 years over $340 million.
Wow.
And, you know, we'll see. I don't think the Yankees will go that route. I think the Yankees love their top two prospects. They'll get a Andrelton Simmons or a or, you know, maybe bring back Didi Gregorius just for a holdover. I don't see him spend that money because they love the shortstop prospects. The Dodgers, you know, I know they said Turner's a shortstop, you know, but, you know, do they do something there and say, you know what, you're only signed for one more year. We got to grab a shortstop here. So, I mean, it's musical chairs and Korean Story are still the last two guys standing. Now, Houston needs a shortstop. Houston already offered Correa, you know, $150 million, you know, way light. But
that ain't going to get it done, Bob, 100 when you see Corey Seager getting $325.
No, so Story makes all the sense in the world in Houston. You know, we'll see about, you know, Stroman and stuff like that. I mean, the price tag is going to be high. Someone's going to do it. You know, maybe the Dodgers go after him, you know, after losing Scherzer. And, you know, maybe they'll lose Kershaw as well.
Right. And Freddie Freeman, is he coming back to Atlanta? Are the Yankees involved, the Dodgers, anybody like that?
Yeah, I can't get confirmation. I think the Dodgers got to be involved. I mean, Max Muncy has a torn UCL. Who knows when he's coming back? I know, you know, Freeman wants to stay in Atlanta. Atlanta wants to keep him. But, you know, Dodgers have a gaping hole there, and he does live in Orange County. So it's not like he's moving across country or like that. His family lives right there. So it makes perfect sense for the Dodgers to go after him. You know, if nothing else, force Atlanta to raise the price tag up and give him that 6 years he wants.
No doubt. All right, last thing, Bob, we'll let you go. The lockout, you kind of had to get here to get people to – you know, there's going to kind of be a rub. The last three or four lockouts lasted around 19, 20 days. What do you expect on this one? It just, the thing that I found interesting was just the flurry. I get it. Teams want to put their rosters together, but it didn't feel like, hey, we're going to put the players off. We're not signing anybody. We'll wait, make them sweat. Where is this negotiation? Will it be a long haul or will it be about normal?
I think it'd be a short haul. I mean, as long as it's done before February 1st, and that's when, you know, pitchers and catchers before February 15th. So as long as you got 2 weeks to sign guys and, you know, do trades and that sort of thing, I don't think it's a big thing now. I think they'll get it done. sometime in early to mid-January. They'll probably take a recess right now for a few days.
Right.
Start negotiating again next Monday. That's almost a force play. Like, okay, the owners want to force the union's hand, to settle down and bargain with them. And knowing they don't want to wait too long. They don't want the players to go on strike in spring training or begin the season. So I think it's just a negotiating tactic to force the union to stay at the table with them and see what happens.
Yeah, Bob, I'm with you. That's the feel that I get. You know better than I do, my man. Appreciate your insight, your knowledge. Mr. Bob Nightingale, one of the best in the business from USA Today, joining us here on Inside the Parker. Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, Rob. See you, buddy.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Now let's welcome in veteran baseball scribe Steve Marcus, who worked for Newsday in New York for 47 years, over three decades covering Major League Baseball. One of my favorite people, good friend of mine. Steve, welcome to the podcast. How you doing, buddy?
Very good, Rob. How are you?
Doing great. And before, I'm not going to embarrass you, but before we get started, I was a young sports writer for the Daily News just starting out in 1986. And Steve barely knew me, probably by sight more than knew me. And I had an incident in the Mets elevator at Shea Stadium. And basically, one of the few black guys covering baseball, and I get on the writer's elevator to go down after a game, and the elevator operator speaks to me very nasty. He was very nasty to me, basically, like, hey, you, get off the elevator, without even asking to see my credential, which I had on my belt. And Steve Marcus jumped in and helped me in a situation that was a little tough for a 22-year-old just starting out. Steve, you remember that day, don't you?
I do remember, Rob, and I appreciate you bringing it up. I'd like to think if it wasn't me, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, but Steve stepped in and told the guy, A, why are you talking to him like that? And B, he has a credential on his waist, and it was just the way the guy did it. Even if he didn't recognize me, Steve, he could have easily said, hey, excuse me, can I see your credential? That's all he had to say, correct?
People are the way they are, not the way we would like them to be, unfortunately, Rob.
No doubt. All right. But all right, with the pleasantries. Now, Steve is one of the hardest voters for the Baseball Hall of Fame. Some might consider him too hard. And last year, he voted for no one on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. The last person he voted for was Derek Jeter. And this year, he's released his ballot. Not too much work in it because, again, he has voted for no one. Steve, why do you feel no one has qualified for a Hall of Fame vote from Steve Marcus?
Well, first of all, Rob, I would say that it's not that there's no work put into a ballot that doesn't have any votes. In fact, it probably is maybe even a harder job. I would like to think that I take this responsibility seriously, and I do a deep dive on all the popular candidates. The person I considered very strongly this year was Scott Rolen, and I looked at his statistics, and I have to tell you, I feel like he's a near miss. Third base is one of the most cherished positions in the Hall of Fame. Very few people have gotten elected by the baseball writers, and I didn't feel that Rolen, I didn't feel that he matched Brooks Robinson, Mike Schmidt, players of that ilk, and therefore he became a near miss to me. In terms, I know you're going to get to the players that have so-called tainted records.
Yes,
that's an easy one for me, Rob. I don't vote for guys that have stained the game.
Now, Steve, let me jump in here.
Do I have Do I have proof? No, but it's not a court of law. But I would say that there's a large body of circumstantial evidence.
Okay, here would be my argument to you on that. Do you know if there's anybody in the Hall of Fame? Did you vote for Mike Piazza?
No.
Did you vote for Jeff Bagwell?
Yes.
His name was linked. Maybe you didn't have evidence. His name was linked to steroids. That didn't bother you?
I thought it was parenthetically linked, and I thought that the link was gratuitous, to be honest with you. And I thought that the link was gratuitous in the case of Pudge Rodriguez, so I voted for him.
Okay, Pudge is another one who is in the Canseco book. Canseco even claimed that he used to stick Pudge. And Pudge, who I covered in Detroit, lost 40 pounds in one off season after the whole allegations against him. That didn't bother you?
I was aware of that, and I would say that that Canseco is not a reliable witness, Rob. I think you might agree.
Here's the only issue I have, and I do vote for Bonds. I do vote for Clemens. This is their last year. I do believe they still have a chance. And last year they got basically 62% of the vote. You need 75. So there's a lot of writers who have voted for them, and this is their last year. I do not believe Curt Schilling is a Hall of Famer. It has nothing to do with his politics. I think that's the biggest bunch of garbage that has ever been thrown out at the baseball writers, especially because Mariano Rivera might be the biggest Donald Trump guy out there, right? But he got 100% of the vote. So
correct.
If writers took into your political beliefs or who you side with or who you vote for, do you think Mariano would have got 100%?
Mariano doesn't wear his politics on his sleeve the way that Schilling does. But, you know, my problem with Schilling is not so much his politics, but, I homophobic. There's some race issues involved. You know, that to me is a line in the sand. There is an integrity clause that is very rarely invoked. I invoke the integrity clause with a guy like Schilling.
Our guest is Steve Marcus, longtime baseball scribe, put in 47 years at Newsday in New York, 3 decades covering Major League Baseball. We're talking about the 2021 BBWAA, of course, Baseball Writers Ballot, which is my most prized possession. I will say that, Steve, and I, like you, take it very, very seriously. And one of the things that I look at when I look at people is Bonds was never tested positive, never was suspended by baseball. So I don't believe it's my job to look in and decide whether or not there's guilt. And I'm not saying that he did or didn't. I just don't believe that if the league were to like not count his home runs or take away his MVPs, then I think that's legit. And if a guy, Steve, to me, gets busted, I haven't voted for Manny Ramirez. He got busted 2 or 3 times after baseball put in the rules. I think that's an obvious case.
Well, steroids were banned in 1991. PED testing didn't start till 2003. So it's a misnomer. I know you're not saying this per se, Rob, but it's a misnomer when some people say, well, it wasn't illegal when they did it. That as a matter of fact is not true. It was on best behavior, and you know what that means. So I vehemently would disagree with the position that somebody like Bonds should skate through. And also, you know, there's a thing about Bonds that, well, he was a Hall of Famer before all of this started.
Well, I've heard that argument.
I bought that in year one. I went along with that, and I actually voted for Bonds in year one. But then I sat down and started thinking about it. I said, wait a minute. What about all the guys that haven't gotten in who we think, you know, played the game cleanly? Andrew Jones is still waiting. Todd Helton is still waiting. Jeff Kent is still waiting. Cecil Fielder had 319 home runs, Rob. Will Clark has a 303 lifetime batting average. Those guys didn't get in.
Yeah, but my only argument is I don't think those guys got in because their numbers weren't good enough. There are a lot of very good players. And I think this is where people are letting in guys, to me, who just aren't up to par. To me, Steve, my biggest thing is if we have to debate you, you're not a Hall of Famer. It's pretty simple.
My point in mentioning those players, Rob, is that if those guys cheated before it was quote-unquote illegal, right, they would have had the numbers. So why should we put people in that we have a really strong suspicion that they did cheat, and these other guys who played the game clean didn't get those numbers, therefore aren't in?
But this is my only argument is that you don't know, Steve, for sure who was doing it and who wasn't. I think that's the problem that I have. I believe there are guys who have already been voted in because we brought up a guy who you didn't vote for, but Mike Piazza, who was voted in, I think, his seventh year. And there are people who there was always stuff swirling around, but people still voted for him. I think it's wrong. If you could tell me that everybody in the Hall of Fame was clean and didn't do it, then I would be more apt to that. I don't believe that that's the case because there's Pudge, because there's Bagwell, because there are guys like that who have already gotten in. Let me ask you about the two new first-year ballot guys. Of course, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, and David Ortiz. People love David Ortiz. Now, A-Rod, I don't believe. A-Rod was suspended by baseball. That's going to nullify him with most writers. I don't believe, Steve, he'll get in. But David Ortiz is a beloved figure, and for whatever reason, people don't talk about him, you know, being caught in the Mitchell report or in his name coming out. Where are you on David Ortiz? And why do you think he gets a chance to skate more so than a guy like A-Rod?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that he should get a chance to skate. And so I didn't vote for him. Why didn't I vote for him? I believe he has a stain on him. And just because Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred came out and said his name shouldn't have been listed on some 2003 report, that was not clear and convincing to me, Rob, either. And in addition, you're talking about a guy that was a released player. He was a released player by the Twins, and all of a sudden he became a big star during the steroid era and beyond. So I have a lot of questions about that. You know, Big Poppy's a great. He's a terrific guy. He's a great interview, as you know.
Yes, everybody loves him. We know that.
Yeah, and I believe to a large extent that A-Rod has reconfigured his life. Another guy that was a terrific interview, a guy that called me during his problems, did a lot of stories on him. I kind of like him, but I can't vote for him. We get to what are the degrees of culpability here? A-Rod's an easy no. You know, maybe Ortiz isn't an easy no, but he's still a no for me.
Okay, and let me finish with this as we go forward. I respect everybody who has a ballot. There are about 400 ballots out there, 401, I think, casted last year. And everybody has a right. Like, one thing that I think people miss is that that's your ballot. You have the right to do with it. I could disagree with you on your ballot, but that's your ballot. And I respect what people put on their ballot and their time and their energy. What did you make of, as a guy who has not voted for anybody, what did you make of Derek Jeter not being unanimous and one person not voting for him? Do you think that was, and I'm just asking you to guess because I'm sure you don't know, somebody not casting a ballot for a vote for anybody or somebody purposely not voting for Derek Jeter?
I mean, the only thing I could think of there that it was purposeful, and what I don't like is, again, you and I agree that, you know, this is a responsibility to have this ballot, and I think all the ballots should be made public and should be transparent. I mean, I put my ballot out on Twitter, and I got 1.2 million people telling me that I'm crazy, I should quit, I'm too old, etc. You know, I don't like that. It's a little hurtful. I don't like my family to see it, but I believe it's a responsibility that comes with doing this.
No, no doubt. I make mine public as well. It shouldn't be some secret society. I'm willing to put my name to it. It is my ballot. It is my vote. And Steve, I'm going to call you Meshuggah, but I still love you anyway. Steve Marcus, one of my favorite people, longtime baseball scribe, more than three decades covering baseball in New York. It is always great to be in the press box with Steve and hang out and talk and stuff. But, Steve, we will talk, and this will be interesting. I'm going to say, Steve, and make a prediction that Bonds and Clemens get in at the last vote.
It could be. It could be. Sentiment could rule the day.
All right. Steve Marcus, appreciate it. Thanks for joining the podcast.
Thanks, Rob.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.